wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I'm not alone. He picked me up, he turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank Master, I thank Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burdens and bitterness. You can just keep on moving. No, you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son is found his way back home. He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. I am free.
Praise the Lord, church. So great to be here on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday evening. How many of you enjoyed your week so far? It's about to shift a little bit, I think, in our weather. So it's going to be a little bit more like winter as we get closer to the weekend. But it's so great to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. So great to have Brother Cad with us. And he'll be sharing his outgoing missionary to Madagascar and the Congo, and he'll be sharing that with us in just a little bit. You can be seated this evening. Just a little shout out, because I forgot to this week. Happy birthday, 40th birthday to Pastor Peter Sandin. And hope you had a good week so far, brother. But if you're a guest of ours, we have a welcome card, and It's kind of looks like this, a connection card. And I would like for you, if you could, to just take the time to get one of those filled out. You can also, if you're watching online, you can do that through our website. And we'd just love to be able to take and get connected with you. Pastor Phil takes care of this, and he's got a group of folks, I think, and he'll come in sometime and say, hey, that visitor that was here on Sunday, and talked with him on Monday, and talked with him for an hour, and so it's just good to just make that connection. And also, if you'd like to give tonight, we have a number of different ways you can give. You can give, you can drop your checks off here, or drop it off here at the church if you'd like to, or you could take throw it in the mail. There's a little box out in the vestibule. You can take and drop it in that, and then there's some giving options online there that you can see there. Also this week we have on November 20th, which I do believe is opening day of deer season. Is that correct? Am I correct on that? So we also have a ladies shopping day. So ladies, before your husband sneaks out of the house at 3 o'clock in the morning, make sure he leaves the credit card behind. I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah. So we have ladies shopping day, and they're going to be joining, meeting here at church at 9:30. And Sister Lindsay Simmons, if Sister Lindsay could just stand briefly. So just connect up with Sister Lindsay, and she'll get you in the right direction there. And then also we have next Thursday, we have our Thanksgiving community meal, and Brother Jerry Simmons and Sister Lindsay Simmons are overseeing that. So if I could just have them stand, in case you don't know Jerry and Lindsay. I know they don't like always, you ever just wonder when you're somewhere and somebody says they make reference to someone and you're like, I have no idea who that person is. So, but we have the meal is from 1 to 3, and you're welcome to be a part of this, whether you're just eating or if you're volunteering. Food donations are no longer needed, but if you'd like to make a financial donation to offset the cost, please indicate the benevolent fund on your donation and get that put into the offering, or however you wish to get that in. And then volunteers are needed to mix and mingle with the guests, as well as a couple delivery drivers are still needed. So what we're going to be doing is whatever we have left over, as well as some folks that aren't able to be here, some of our shut-ins, some of our elderly that aren't able to be here and can no longer drive, we're going to get meals to them. So we'll be sending out vehicles with meals and such. So we need some of that still. And if you could talk with Sister Louise Stone or Pastor Jerry Simmons to get plugged in with that. Also, December 3rd and 4th, we have a special ladies' weekend here. Work womanship is what that is called. Sister Brittany Waters is in charge of that. Sister Brittany is not here tonight. They have a little sick girl, so they're staying in. But I just want to let you know, ladies, coming up December 3rd and 4th, that that will be available for you, and I want to encourage all of you ladies to attend. There's going to have some really great discussions and some great group sessions and such. So with that, if we could stand, we're going to just go to prayer here this evening. And we have a lot of folks that are just struggling with various sicknesses, not so much COVID. It's kind of come through and hopefully gone for a little while anyway. But we have a lot of our saints are just struggling with various lingering illnesses and such. So let's remember, if you know of someone that's not feeling well, just make sure you lift their name in prayer. And we also want to pray for Brother Cad this evening, and just pray for this service. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, we have so many needs here within the church body. We have so many folks, Lord, that are sick, so many of our elderly that are struggling in so many different ways. And I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every one of them. Lord, those that are in the hospital, those that are confined to nursing homes or their health care facilities or retirement facilities. Lord, I ask you that your hand would be upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters. We also pray for this service tonight for each and every one of us. Lord, I believe that you have something for every one of us here. We also, Lord, pray for Brother Cad as he brings forth the word of the Lord tonight, and as he delivers the field of missions, the Madagascar and the Congo. Lord, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can remain standing or you can be seated, and Brother Derek is going to lead us in a few more worship songs. God bless you.
You move the mountains, told the wind and waves be still. You cast out demons, bid the empty soul be filled. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. You hold redemption, made accusers drop their stones, showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. Now we proclaim in Jesus' name. Walls fall down in Jesus' name. Strongholds break in Jesus' name. Amen. Darkness made a fool of death and grave. Oh, King Jesus, you made royals out of slaves. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. Oh. blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne. Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Lord. So amen. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. 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 Blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Behold the way, truth and light, perfect Savior, the blood that washed us white, God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Jesus. Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, the Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, victory has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, the Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption.
Sing that to the Lord. Say,
amen. Thank you.
Let's just all lift our hands and worship him tonight. Such a sweet presence in this place. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I woke up yesterday morning. Sometimes you wake up, you have a song on your mind, and you wonder where that came from. Woke up yesterday morning, that song, Holiness Has a Name, and it's Jesus. And just over and over and over, Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. My Savior has a name, and it's Jesus. So great to have Brother David Cadd here with us tonight. Him and his wife, his family, they're outgoing missionaries to Madagascar and the Congo. And they have been missionaries in Madagascar for some time now, 3 years. And the Congo has recently been added to their field of ministry. And he's going to come and he's going to share for a few minutes with us, give his presentation, and we're going to come up and he's got some projects that we're going to help him raise some funds for. And then he's going to come back, and he's going to preach for us. Brother David Cadd, God bless you, brother.
Amen. You may be seated. I apologize if you were expecting someone older. I was thinking about on the drive up here, for some reason, someone thought it was funny in St. Louis to send all the southern missionaries to the north in the winter and all the northern missionaries to the south in the summer. And so all the missionaries right now are having to deal with the climate that is not of their preference, including myself. I was in Ontario last week and it started snowing early. I said, it's my fault. I said, okay, I'll take it. And so, We have a great work to do in Madagascar and in the DR Congo. Both of these countries that we work in are very, very different. Madagascar will give you a very quick, brief synopsis of the size of both of these countries, and you will see just how different both of these works are. In Madagascar, we have over 1,100 pastors and churches and 250,000 saints. I believe we are either the fourth or fifth largest work in the world. The size of the work can be absolutely staggering sometimes. We see Pentecostals everywhere. It is, we like to joke in the capital city that we've done it like Starbucks. We have a church on every corner. And so God has blessed us. God has blessed us with a tremendous revival in Madagascar. In the DR Congo, the work, however, has not had a missionary in decades. They are fractured, divided, and generally facing a helpless situation. They are numbering right now at about 20 churches scattered across a country that is 1/4 of the size of the United States, with just a small collection, handful of saints. And so the work in both of these nations vary quite a lot. One nation is one of the strongest in the world, and one work is one of the weakest in the world. And so we find ourselves in an interesting situation with a hand in two different harvest fields, both of them very different. In Madagascar, there is an endless list of jobs to be done. We have often talked about it, us and the Richardsons, who are also missionaries there, the head missionaries. We have talked about it over the dinner table and tallied up the numbers and said, you know, $1 million could be usefully spent without a penny being wasted in Madagascar. We could take $1 million and put it into the work in Madagascar. When you have 1,000 churches and 250,000 saints, 3 or 4 massive Bible colleges, $1 million, we could spend it in 10 minutes without even blinking an eye. Nothing would be wasted. It would all be put to good use. So the need in the nation is great. The need in what we do is massive. My wife and I, the task we were given over the last 2 or 3 years was to build up our campus ministries. That is a major, major source of outreach in Africa. I don't expect you to know this, but I will tell you, most people in Africa are young. Raise your hand in here if you're under 25. In Africa, an overwhelming majority of the population is around 25 and under. An overwhelming, we're talking north of 60%, maybe 70. And so when you're talking about reaching young people, you are in fact reaching an overwhelming majority of the population. And one of those key aspects is going into the campuses, our colleges, our universities, and setting up campus ministry programs and starting to talk to them and reach them. We started out with just a collection and a handful, and we started building it up, and then COVID came along, and I honestly thought that COVID had killed it. I started to really wonder, as many churches had to deal with all kinds of loss. We had been thrown off the campgrounds at least twice, and we had been suffering the consequences of that, and that was the secularization of the campgrounds. They didn't want any religious groups whatsoever, and so we've actually have been operating a campus ministries in Madagascar without actually being on the campus. And so it made it incredibly difficult. And then with COVID, I thought, man, this might be the thing that finally kills us off. But I'm glad to report to you today that as of the last meeting, we probably had, I would say, around 100 to 150 students in attendance. It was absolutely amazing. Pushing through COVID, COVID had whittled us down to around 10 or 15 to show you the difference of what is happening. And so the Malagasy people are very revival-minded. They are very forward-minded. And in Congo, we are looking forward to building that work up and to supporting them and to getting them to a level to where they can also be accomplishing some of the same things that are done in Madagascar. I do have a quick video to play. And then I'll step aside and turn it over to the pastor. Thank you. been here, we've been very busy. Our main test this year was to set up campus ministry, and this year we've been working with the National Youth Committee to make that happen.
We've also been studying the Malagasy language this past year. We've worked hard to do that, and David's also been helping to develop translators this past year. We plan to continue our studies once we return.
We've also been working with the English Club, and that has also brought forth some translators from there as well. Continue studying the Malagasy language and to further expand the campus ministries. Right now, we have a very good solid core group that we've built up, but we are looking to expand and to rapidly grow and prosper in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, folks. Thank you for sharing that with us, Brother Cad. Now, he's shared with me before service some of the needs that they have. Now, they have education funds. They have language studies. And language studies is a big need because they're going to have to learn a new language when they go to the Congo. So they will be learning French. And that's Brother Claude Obka's home language. And I said, we got a guy here that's from Burkina Faso. And so they'll be going back and having to learn the language, the French language. But then they also have educational funds. But the biggest need that they have in the Congo is in the field, the need of field evangelism. As he stated, Congo is a very broken country. The ministry there, the churches, are really struggling. I guess I would say very much like Ethiopia. And so their big need is field evangelism, language studies, and then their education funds. Now, their education funds is about $2,200. Language studies, just a little shy of $6,000. And because they have not yet been to the Congo, as far as missionaries, they do not have a set, solidified budget. So they're just, I don't want to say they're just winging it, but they're just going on faith that, Lord, you're going to help us reach this nation. So if you would like to take and assist in any of these, the educational funds, the language study, or field evangelism, I would like for you to feel free to do that. Now, I originally was going to have the ushers come, and I guess we haven't done it that way in a year or more, taking an offering. So some of you might be a little bit nervous about passing an offering plate. So what we'll do tonight is I guess for me it was just old habits, okay? So out in the back in the vestibule, we have our glass box. And if you'd like to take and put your offering in there tonight, or if you would like to take and you could give online, you could text to give, however you normally give, you're welcome to give in any of those areas. But these are the areas that are most pressing for them. And I told Brother Cad that we do not presently have them as a partner in missions. So if you feel a burden to take them on as a family, feel free to let us know that. But we'll be taking them on, the church here will be taking them on as a partner in missions. So we thank you so very much for what you're doing, Brother Cad, you and your wife, and we'd like for you to come and just speak to us here at the rest of this service. God bless you, brother.
My goal is to get you out of here in 15 minutes. I know it's midweek. That being said, to the media team, I'm just going to use the first scripture that I gave you, Luke 1:37. I do believe that this scripture encapsulates everything that we do on the mission field. And it should be everything that we as apostolics do as well. And it simply reads, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now in the year 2020, this scripture began to bring on a new form and a new weight in my mind as I watched as the government, like every other government in the world, begin to close everything down, and the world begin to shut down, as it were. And it was interesting to see how we had gotten to this place where I think we as people, just in general, thought we were more in control of our lives, and then we realized when something so small, something microscopic, all of a sudden has just turned out the lights on the whole planet. And all within a space of a few months. And I think that was part of the great shock, was we had been living under the idea and under the notion that we were actually very much in control of our lives and in the world around us. And then all of a sudden we discovered a terrible, awful truth, and that is that something that we cannot even see has the capability to take this entire world and to stop it in its tracks. And so without fail, the government of Madagascar shut everything down. There was no conferences, there was no churches, there was nothing at all that could happen. Everything was just shut down. There was nothing. And you've got to understand that as a church, it is absolutely vital, absolutely necessary and important that we keep moving forward. At no point ever can the church ever decide to take a break or to slow down or to stop, or just to say, you know what, it's okay, we can just put this on the back burner for a little bit, this whole revival evangelism thing. No, it is absolutely important and critical that the church continually move forward. We cannot ever afford to move back or to pause for a second. And so the question soon became, how do we move forward? Well, the great part about being apostolic is that we have a certain particular love for a certain particular book in the Bible. And contained within this book is another ground game, you might say, on how to have church. It explicitly talks about having church without having a building, without having an organization, without having to have the structure. It is far from ideal, I will tell you that, but there is another way to move ahead. And so the Malagasy pastors made up in their mind that, you know what, if I cannot open my church doors anymore, if we cannot have any more conferences, if we cannot have any more crusades, then I will do it as they did in the book of Acts. I will go house to house. I will go street to street. I will go from village square to village square, from one marketplace to the next, spreading the gospel, praying for the saints, doing everything that I can. You got to realize that contained within the book of Acts are many great revelations, but one of them is simply the fact that the church is not a building. It never has been a building, but the church is in fact a people. And when you understand that, and when you realize that the church is a people, you also realize that you can't really cancel church. I can have church anywhere. I can have it in the car. I can have it in the parking lot. I can have it in the street, in the marketplace. I can have it in my living room. Wherever I may find myself, I can also get a hold of God. And so that's exactly what our Malagasy pastors did. They would do everything that they could, and they would reach and evangelize. And I'm happy to report that in the year 2020 in Madagascar, with everything shut down, with all of these impossibilities facing us, We couldn't go online. Most of our people don't even have electricity, much less internet. With all of that, with every reason to just say, you know what, we could stop. We had over 14,000 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. It did not happen in a church altar. It did not happen in a conference. It did not happen in a crusade stadium. It was nowhere near any of that. It happened in little village squares. It happened in street corners. It happened in living rooms and bedrooms. People were being baptized in their bathrooms. It was a revival that continued and did not stop because we understood that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Many times we get excited about that last part of the scripture, nothing shall be impossible. But I want to caution you a little bit and to encourage you to take the entire scripture as a whole and realize that if you want the end of the scripture, you have to have the beginning of the scripture. If you want nothing shall be impossible, you have to do it with God. You cannot just do it on your own. You can't do it on your own abilities or your own wealth or your own talent. Many people have tried, and all of those people have failed. If you endeavor to do anything in life, do it with God. Because when you are doing it with God, you will understand and begin to realize that truly nothing is impossible. That when God is in it, how can I fail? How can this go wrong? If God is doing this with me, and if I am doing the work of God, God will make himself known. God will provide, and God will make a way. It is interesting to note that sometimes, I like to use the story of Gideon as an example. This is a wonderful story that I love to talk about and to preach about. Then the story of Gideon, not only does God specialize in the impossible, but with Gideon, he decided he was going to make it impossible. Now, I'm sure if we were having this conversation with God, we would probably be throwing a fit, me and you. Because when we have a conversation with God, we expect it to go something like this. God, I have a battle to fight. I need some help. I need more men. I need more weapons. And we would expect more men, more weapons. We would expect an army of angels there, or you know, something of that nature. We would expect an increase. But with Gideon, as he began to come to God and they would go back and forth, all of a sudden Gideon began to find himself decreasing in numbers and in strength. All of a sudden the situation went from we have a small chance to fight this and win to now it is impossible. We cannot fight this and win this. And to make it even worse, at the very end of it all, he says, Gideon, not only are you going to take this small little handful of men to the battlefield, but Gideon, I don't even want you to bring weapons. It is now an impossible situation. It is now gone from a small chance to no chance whatsoever. It is now quite literally a suicide mission. But what Gideon did not know, and he was soon to discover, was that God never intended for Gideon to fight the battle. All Gideon was going to have to do was just be present on the battlefield. All God was saying was, Gideon, I just want you to show up and I'll take care of the rest. And so I want to encourage you for a quick minute tonight. If you have been seeking after God and you have been dealing with something or struggling with something, and if it feels like the situation is getting worse the more you have prayed, and if it feels like the situation sometimes is just getting more and more terrible the more you have fasted and the more you have come to God, it might just be that God is making the situation so impossible that you realize and understand that when the victory comes, it will not be you who had anything to do with it, but it will be simply God and God alone. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He's not going to share this glory or this power or this prestige. Any of that he will not share with any of us. And he was simply saying, Gideon, when this victory comes, everybody's going to know it was me. I'm removing you from the equation. I'm going to make your force of men so small that it is now insignificant. That is no longer a factor in this story anymore. You're just a sideshow now, Gideon. You are no longer the main participant in this story anymore, because you've got to understand that when Gideon arrived there at the army, it was in his mind, he was saying, it is my men versus their men. And by the time he arrived with his small motley crew, his entire perspective had been changed. He now understood the truth of the matter, that it is no longer my men versus their men, because my men have been taken away from me. It is now my God versus their men. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. Be encouraged. No matter what situations you are facing in life, no matter what difficulties you are facing in life, if you are doing it with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's stand all across this place tonight. Let's lift our hands and begin to pray. Just for a short while before we dismiss and go home, let's just spend a minute thanking God for what He's done. Let's just spend a minute giving thanks. We have Thanksgiving coming up, but there's nothing wrong with starting a little bit early. Just saying, God, I am thankful for all that You've done. God, I may not have understood the reason why You did all that You've done. God, I don't always get it. I don't understand why. But God, I want to let You know tonight that I trust You. That like Gideon, even though the situation may not always be ideal, I do trust You. Let's worship Him for a quick second.
Praise God. Thank You, Brother Ted. I want to open up this altar area tonight just to come down and celebrate. I feel like celebrating tonight. Sometimes life, it does. It just, sometimes life whips you. But we've having a God that's never been whooped. He's never been defeated. He doesn't know what defeat feels like. Even in His seeming defeat at Calvary was a victory. One of the greatest victories that He's ever had. So let's just make our way to the front, and as Brother Derek leads us in worship, and God bless you.
Weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, you won't prevail. Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. Down from any giant.
Remember the educational funds, if you would like to give to the CAD family for that, or language studies, and then also field evangelism in the Congo. And we'll be taking Brother CAD and his wife on as missionaries. Your family would like to do that privately as well. We have a number of families that support a number of various missionaries. Just contact us here in the church office and we'll get you set up for that. So thank you so very much, Brother CAD, for sharing with us. I know he's had a lot of traveling the last few weeks, and he's going to be leaving here, be heading down to the state of Illinois and traveling. But the good part about all of this is that they're about 6 months into their deputation and they're over halfway completed. It's a two-year deputation, and they're 6 months into it, and they're halfway completed with their budget. So we're just going to pray that God will continue. We want to bless them tonight as they head to their field of labor. God bless you, church, and we will be back here on Sunday. So God bless.